Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hey.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about what a deed pass-through is. Deed pass-through defined.
I'm not even sure.
And that's why I threw it in here. It's a recurring question in Success Plant. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes. Before that, let's share something interesting that happened to us lately, Jill. Oh, it's me. I'm supposed to share it.
I'm looking at you like, wait.
Today is Wednesday, and I am so happy to report that Wednesday is the day that I do what we call around the office a deal review. And it's a chance for our members to schedule calls and talk to me and say, hey, you know, would you do this deal? I got this deal. I'm thinking about doing it. Should I do it? Well, there's one of our members, he's now officially, our star member, he has been calling me just about every Wednesday to review deals for maybe 2 months. I think he's, as a member, I think he's 2, maybe 3 months into this with us. And he is officially clearing $100,000 a month cash flow.
It's awesome.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to, he said it's okay to disclose his name. I'm not going to do that.
I think it's good if we don't.
we'll put a whole thing together at some point with the calls and get him directly involved. Because we all want to know his secret.
You know what's funny? I know one little thing about this person is that we weren't his first encounter with this. He was like a lot of people that have come to us that have tried other versions of what we do. And they, you know, trying to be investors and learning about the business. But they ran into, they're missing a lot of the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And this person I know came to us and, you know, and clearly God now has all the answers because clearly now he's very successful. It's not like the guy's not motivated, man. The guy is clearly motivated, you know, and now he's doing what he wants to do and all that. It's really good.
I asked him why he's so successful and some people aren't. And he said, it's because I have to have the answers to everything. I have to know the why. That's how he put it.
I love it.
W-H-Y, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's what we do. We help mm-hmm. you. That's part yeah. of this show.
Yeah, that's what this show is.
Yeah.
Boy, he listens to this show too. He says, you know, he said on the show last week, this and that. It's amazing.
Good.
I'm real proud. I'm super proud of him.
Me too.
All of our members are killing it in their own way, but this just happens to be, he just figured, made this work for him
exactly.
really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a parent. It's just weird.
It's parental pride.
Yeah, I just feel proud.
It's the same. It's interesting. You're right. It's just the same feeling. And I think it's the most wonderful thing.
Jill, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the Land Academy online environment. The community.
Soon to be the Jack and Jill online community.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that we're going to change it again. But we're gonna land on one, I promise.
Yeah.
All right. Ron asks, if I'm buying property from Jose Blank in California, and he's married, but the vesting deed shows just his name, what are you requiring the spouse to sign? Are you requiring the spouse to sign the purchase agreement or adding an extra signature line on the new deed? I'm assuming you leave the grantor name as Jose Blank and to match the old deed's grantee name.
How would you answer this, Jill? I bet we might be a little bit different on this.
I would do exactly what the deed says, create the new deed and have it pass through and be recorded just as if it was an individual, like it was bought by Jose, you know, whatever, Jose Torres, you know, as an individual. I would have the new deed say Jose Torres as an individual selling to me in my new thing, and I would only have Jose signing it.
That is exactly what I would do.
Yeah, I wouldn't add any other names because now we're making everybody confused too. Like, well, why are we doing that? Let's see some marriage documents, blah, 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 blah. Complicating it when you maybe not need to.
The whole notion of marriage and community property and the way that it's disclosed on a deed is from 1955. And it still sticks in everybody's head. So the vast majority of that stuff doesn't apply any longer. It may apply if they get divorced, mm-hmm. but that's not what we're doing here.
Exactly.
So that's what family law attorneys do and undo, and they get paid to do that. Mm-hmm. We get paid to convey property effectively and efficiently. So here's the rule, and not just in this case, but in nearly, in I can't think of when it's not a case. The name that's on the vesting deed goes on the new deed.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Exactly. You know what's interesting about this? Just to give another example, it's like pretend it was, because we've had this, where we bought property from a church and it was the name of the church on there. Nowhere on there does it say the name of the individuals because they change. The board members change on the church. But we had supporting documents because we asked for it to make sure that the one person signing on behalf of the church is the president of the board or whatever the, you know, whatever the official title was. And we made sure that we stated it, you know, like that. But yeah, it could change. You just have to, you know, so copy. Well, I guess my point is
copy and paste if you can.
Copy be exactly. And I'm talking, paste. You know, what's so funny too. I've had them where we're spelling it wrong. I'm going to keep the misspelling going. I don't want to.
Yes,
I don't want to.
Exactly, Jill. Great. That's a perfect example.
Yeah. I don't want to create complication down the road for somebody else because it looks like maybe I made a change. I don't need to make that change. I know that it's really, you know, Jose had two S's instead of one. Guess what? We're going to keep doing the two S's even though it's spelled wrong, Jose. He could care less.
Yeah.
We're going to sign it and then move on.
So I don't want this to sound, if you're new to the show or new to this whole thing, it's not a complicated. This is mm-hmm. a very good question, by the way, Ron. Mm-hmm. Excellent question. And it comes up quite often. And but I don't want to scare anybody, a listener, that this mm-hmm. is complicated. It's not.
No. Yeah, if anything, keep it simple. Don't try to make it harder on yourself. Yeah. That's the whole point, too.
Just hard and fast comments.
Yeah. I love where you're going with that, Ron. And just, you're doing great.
Jill and I are in the process of putting together what it'll end up being is like escrow school, you know, where you can learn about the whole process of what a vesting deed is, how to deed property in someone else's name, what's legal, what's not legal, what you need to have a license for, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we're having some fun doing it.
Totally.
Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on the Land Academy online community. Mm-hmm. Today's topic is deed pass-through defined. What did Jill say when we sat down? She said, what the heck is that? I don't even know. How can I do a show about something? I don't even know what this phrase is. We do. Jill's going to describe in probably like 30 seconds or less what an option is and what we discuss and why you should never do a deed pass-through on an option. Yeah. Does that make sense now?
No, I know what you're talking about.
So please describe just a basic option, Jill.
Okay. A basic option deal is me on the buy side or the sell side? On the buy.
Yeah. Just okay. Walk us through a regular old option.
Okay. I'm doing an option when I don't have the money or I'm not on the same page with the seller about the money. And I'm doing an option to purchase a property, which is an agreement that we have. It's usually a simple one-page thing where I'm saying, hey, Mr. Smith, look, you want $8,000 for it. I'd give you four. I don't know about the eight. So, but here's what I'll do. I'll go see if I can put it on my website, market it all over the place that I market all my properties. Let me see if I can sell it and get your eight out of it. And if I do, you know, can I have 90 days? Here, sign this, please. And can I have 90 days to try to sell this and get your $8,000? Well, he's obviously excited because he knows I'd give him four yesterday, but he's going to hang out for this eight. Okay. So what am I going to do? I'm optioning the property.
It's an option to purchase the property.
Exactly. And I'm going to now have him sign this thing. Now I'm going to go make it look really pretty, have some good pictures, write a great description. And I'm trying to sell it for 12 or 10 or something. Then I want to make it, I want him to get his 8,000 and I want it to be worth my while. Now, and I'm not 100% sure I'm going to get it. That's why I'm not flat out buying it and giving him $8,000 today.
And you're not taking the risk. You're not taking on any risk.
Exactly.
That's why it's so attractive.
Exactly. And it's a really simple one-page thing. It's really just it's kind of a step up from a handshake.
Okay, so somebody shows up with $12,000 and they say, yeah, I want to do it. I want to do the deal. Walk us through that.
Okay.
I want to buy this property for 12 grand.
Wonderful. We got it all squared away and everybody, we're 100% there. The money's there. We've got all that out of the way. Where do I wire the money? I can't wait to get this property. Okay. Let me call you right back. Now I'm going to call Mr. Smith back here and just say, hey, just want to make sure, remember you know, 32 days ago, you know, we had this agreement. Do you still have the property? Are you, you know, $8,000 still work for you? Heck yeah. What do? Let me get back to you. Now I can, you want to go, you want to jump in?
Yeah. So, you know, what do I do with the paperwork piece?
Oh, wait, I didn't know if you had a pause, like you wanted to interject a little something and we keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, cool. Okay. So now what am I doing? I'm going back to my buyer. I'm having them wire credit card, whatever the agreement is, get the money to me. I'm going to pretty much on the same day get the $8,000 to Mr. Smith, and he's over the moon.
You collect 12, mm-hmm. you pay $8, mm-hmm. and you keep the difference. Keep the four. Now, some people in this is what led to this deed pass-through thing. What you want to do then is deed the property into your name from the $8,000 sale into your name, and then immediately, and I mean immediately afterward, deed the property into the new purchaser's name, the $12,000 person. What you do not want to do, and people do this with cars all the time. This is how this came up. The old car, the car is still in the car on the car title is still in the person that you bought it from. You never titled it into your name. Mm-hmm. So you sit there and say, why should I ever title this into my name anyway? I'll just title it right into the new person's name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a really bad situation to get yourself in real estate. And in cars, I don't know the legality of it. I don't think it's good there either. But it can be misconstrued as representing somebody in the sale and you need a license for that. Right. Again, I don't want to make this sound super complicated.
That's really not.
Okay, good.
No, okay.
Follow some basic rules. That's all.
Yeah, it's just kind of making sure that it's all legitimate and you're really showing that I'm in the middle of this transaction. You know, I'm here. I'm not doing anything sneaky or representing anyone and just doing it right. And when you say immediate, what I think is really, I'll make it really simple for everybody so you can breathe.
Yeah.
So here's really what I'm doing. So while I'm sitting down, and I'm using Deed Perfect, by the way, because I'm not going to sit and type up the deed from scratch. So I'm doing two deeds at the same time, from Mr. Smith to me. Okay, print it out. Good. Now from me to Mr. Jones, because he's my buyer. Done. And then what am I doing? I'm having the deed completed from the person to me. I'm at, you know, signing mine to the new guy. And then I'm going to send them in you don't have to do it this way, but I like to just send them into the recorder myself. And I know it all gets done right and perfectly. And I'm going to send them both in the same envelope to the recorder at the same time with a nice sticky note on it saying, please record this one first and this one second. They can be done in order that fast.
And now you have a whole perfect recorded paper trail for the whole world to see that you purchased the property and then sold it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't exactly represent anybody.
Yeah, you owned it for 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's okay. Right. I mean, it really is that okay, and everybody's cool and legit and all that good stuff.
That's it.
Thank you.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition. Boy, this is that complicated?
No.
Would it scare you if that was the first show you ever listened to?
I hope not. I was trying to make it real simple and just kind of tell them that. Just pretend.
Like we always say, you know, some of the shows are a little bit technical and some of them are funny and inspirational.
Do you know what's funny? I think that until you get into this and start doing it, you don't realize, like, it's almost like you're writing a bill of sale. Imagine I'm doing chicken scratch bill of sale, Jack, to sell you that watch that you have. And you're going to do another bill of sale because you're selling it to your cousin.
How much would you pay for this?
I don't know. But you know what I mean? You're writing your own chicken scratch bill of sale to sell to the next guy. It's kind of like that. It sounds, we have it built in our head that, there's stacks of paper and there's an escrow involved and there's this involved and that involved. You know what? Now on this transaction, that's a whole nother thing. This is $8,000. We might have done it a different way. Let's just say it was $800. Now for $800, I can do a chicken scratch bill of sale. I'm comfortable with that.
Right.
If anything went sideways and I got a refund or come up with $800, I can do that.
Exactly.
And most people can. So it's not gonna, you know, but that, it doesn't go that way. Mm-hmm. But it's just to help you breathe. If you think about that, you know, that way, there you go.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.